are dealing with two things, jnana and vijnana, knowledge and application, practical application of the knowledge. And we also have devotees that live in Scandinavia, where there's snow on the ground in northern parts of Russia. Some of them are even further north than Scandinavia. And there's snow on the ground all the time in those places. So obviously you can't walk around in a loincloth outside and live under a tree. But the principle is to be detached, because even in this country and in most places, people have to live in houses. They have to be practical. And in order to spread Krishna consciousness, we have to maintain a certain level of health. We can't go around with a drippy nose all the time or shivering. It's not going to work. And we have temples too, so that and lofts and other places, restaurants where people can come in and feel comfortable, because this is practical. This is how Krishna consciousness is preached. And as I was saying before, you have a place and you use it to purify it, to be Krishna conscious. So the example that the Goswamis gave, and the people like Rishabdev and Prahlad Maharaj gave, the very extreme examples of wandering around the place with no clothes on even, is to show the principle of detachment, but not that we can imitate such persons. Actually, we cannot. And if we try to, we'll become considered foolish, and we will be foolish, because Prabhupada gave the example that we should try to create a spiritual atmosphere, even in a very city environment or in a very a homely sort of environment. Actually, you could walk into Prabhupada's room at any time, and it could be in the middle of New York City, which was very noisy and full of rumbling subways and trucks and voices, and you wouldn't hear any birds in that big concrete jungle. And you'd walk into Prabhupada's room, and it would be kind of like going into a real peaceful home, a real nice spiritual atmosphere. It smelled like sandalwood. And he created a kind of rural environment, really, even in his room in New York. So it was the feeling of being home. Even though you knew you were going into the spiritual world, you sort of felt natural. You felt like you could talk, you could be around him, and you could be friendly. So Prabhupada created that, and he asked his devotees in Scandinavia and in northern Russia and in all the places to just preach Krishna consciousness. And I think I mentioned this class that some devotees had to go into jail one time, and there was nothing to do but meat. And he said, well, you can offer it to Lord Shiva and even eat meat, but you have to preach. You have to keep alive so you can preach. In other words, even in the extreme condition, he was very practical, in other words. Very practical. And that, in one sense, is Prabhupada's miracle, is that he was always very practical. When he was asked, once someone asked him to show his Bhishma Rupa form. Did you know about that? Someone asked him. Yeah. So I cannot show Bhishma Rupa. He said, but you're empowered, aren't you? This man asked him. You have been given power by Krishna. And he says, I am not so powerful. My power is to tell the fools and rascals that Krishna is Bhagavan. That is my power. I'll tell the fools and rascals like you, indirectly implied that Krishna is Bhagavan. That much power I have, but I can't show my Bhishma Rupa form. So he was very practical. And then once he was asked to show some other miracle, and he said, this is my miracle, he pointed to some Westerners who had taken up Krishna consciousness. And in a sense, that is the real miracle. It's the practical aspect to translate this spiritual world and spiritual activity into real down-to-earth, day-to-day practical things. Yes, you shave your head. You give up movies, you give up cigarettes, you give up wine, women, and intoxication, and gambling. That is a real miracle, and that's the real practical basis for Krishna consciousness. To think that we can move around in a place like New Zealand with 3 days of a beard and preach to people, they're not going to look at you. They won't take you seriously. In India or certain places, maybe you can do it, but you certainly can't do it here. It's not practical. Yeah.
Prabhupada made that comment in Mayapur when they went to the exhibits. Prabhupada said it's inconceivable.
Mm.
But it happened.
Yeah.
For example, his own power. Krishna's power.
Yeah, this practical use of Krishna consciousness was even Prabhupada himself said it was so powerful that he himself thought it was inconceivable, just beyond. Just as Krishna sometimes marvels at his own beauty, he can't understand the expansion of himself, it is said. So Prabhupada would look around and see at the growth of all of his practical preaching and think, wow, this is amazing. When he would just see. He said that about the Rath Yatra cars in LA. He just saw the pictures. He didn't actually go to it. But he said, we have never seen such carts. And then he, according to a letter by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he asked the devotees to leave him alone, and he was meditating on just the photographs for the rest of the day. Didn't want to see anybody. He canceled his darshan. Is there any other comments or questions or points? Yeah,
the subject. One of the subjects in the verse indicates that pure devotee of the Lord can undergo any tribulation, accepts it. And I just want to know if you could say something in that regard. That sometimes we find that even older devotees leave devotional service. Sometimes it can be maybe a little diminishing to one's faith.
Yeah, it's actually very devastating in a sense that we sometimes put our faith in people who have been in Krishna consciousness a long time, and then they leave and apparently aren't going to come back or take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. So it shakes our faith considerably. There was an offering I think I read here by Ravindra Sarupu about Prabhupada getting all these letters from when he first started Krishna consciousness from people who were having a lot of problems, and they were many of them were leaders in the movement, big people, so called big in quote unquote, and he said that he probably shouldn't have seen this file. They were the letters that Prabhupada got, not the ones he answered, and that he was dealing with from the beginning of spreading Krishna consciousness from back in 1966, 67, 68. So it's not a new or unique phenomenon. And he, in one lecture that was quoted in that offering, Prabhupada said that we have to spend so many gallons of blood to get one person to be a devotee. So it's not an easy thing for one person to become a devotee. And it's not so unusual. I mean, it's unusual, I guess, but it's not. It shouldn't be surprising. Once Prabhupada said we shouldn't be surprised how many people leave, but how many people stay. He said that once. It's true. Refuted that he said that once. So it happens, and part of the reason that it happens, there are many different reasons that it happens, but one of the reasons is that we have seeds of sinful desires, as Rupa Goswami talks about. Some of them are in this seed or bija form. And that means that within the remote recesses of the heart, we were talking about the heart and the mind, there are unfulfilled desires that are incubated. They're sort of kept in there, and they're not really fully addressed and confronted and reamed out and fried. As we say, a fried or baked seed becomes impotent. It no longer can fructify. But sometimes they're maintained. And therefore we have the phenomenon that sometimes after 10, 15, 20, 30 years, people, they actually leave the direct service of Krishna consciousness. So it is when it's said here, a pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed by the prostitutional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of the Lord. So here we're talking about a pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed, or mamchayo vyabhicharana, one who never falls down. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, one who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord is not completely cleansed in the heart. So those remaining seeds are a result of are an indication of not complete cleansing. So we have this phenomenon of those whose hearts are not completely cleansed, even though they might externally appear to be.
Would it be fair to have the understanding that when Prabhupada refers to pure devotee, sometimes, in this case it appears, he's speaking of one whose heart is completely cleansed, that pure and unalloyed devotee, other times?
Right. Prabhupada uses the word pure devotee many times. Sometimes he applies that word to all of the disciples. In other words, anyone... Prabhupada would use the word pure to denote anybody who was engaged in pure devotional service. And sometimes even impure, or not totally pure devotees engage in pure service. But because it's not permanent, because there's some seeds of desire that aren't burned out, that purity is temporary. So here he's defining it more specifically. A pure devotee of the Lord who has once been cleansed by the process. In other words, completely cleansed. This is the process of cleansing. So cleaning means you don't necessarily get all the dirt out of a thing the first time around. Therefore, we take a bath every day, and we bathe in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, because cleansing means that there might be some specks of dirt or dust that aren't cleaned out, and it is those things which can come back to haunt and cause people to lose their Krishna consciousness. So this word pure is often misused, and it's not. Prabhupada used it in many different ways, and here he's given a little more definition of it. Yeah.
In the Gandhija Marja, sorry. Did you want
to? If I could. Without getting on a negative vein on the subject, it's interesting because you were speaking, I was thinking how we've learned as a society maybe from this that we had the tendency to give the accolade to our senior leaders because they should be pure devotees, we call them Paramahamsas.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was a Paramahamsa.
Mm-hmm.
And when you saw that some of the Paramahamsas went away, then it shakes the faith very deeply. So I think, correct me please if I'm wrong, but the society has acknowledged the fact that we shouldn't prematurely worship people as being on the very topmost level of service. At the same time, I just add, we should not then go to another extreme where we have no proper respect and love for senior Vaishnavas.
Mm.
That's also
important. Yeah. That's a very good point. I think Ravindra Sruva Maharaj probably made that point too about kind of going the opposite way, losing respect for everyone and losing respect for even Prabhupada and his movement, and then either forming another movement or allying with another movement or just, sort of dropping out of the picture altogether. So this is a very important point that one shouldn't add, because there are defections or fall downs or whatever, lose respect. Because even though Prabhupada said that we shouldn't be surprised how many people leave, but how many stay, the number that are, reaches, a certain high level or been in movement many years who actually leave is percentage-wise pretty small, even though it does occur, and it's a very frightening thing when it happens. But I think more controls are in place to prevent it from happening. And it's like you say, one shouldn't swing back the other way and become hard-hearted as a result of seeing people fall. It shouldn't be so shocking. And there are philosophical reasons why that happens, as we learn. It's very important. Any other comments? Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.
Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhari Vrajakacharya Sotara Sarasri Srimad Bhavanga Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Rinda Ki Jai. Iskand Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prems of Goswami Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Vidyananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kundarara Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Puri Dham Ki Jai. Sri Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Sri Sri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Gamgamaya Ki Jai. Jamnamaya Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi, Parinam Sankirtana Ki Jai, Shri Shri Brihat Madanga Ki Jai, Trinitam Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gorni Thai Ki Jai, Shri Jagannath Bala Deva Subhadra Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Giri Dhari Ki Jai, Shri Nupasham Dham Ki Jai, Sham Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. A reading from Prabhupada Nectar by Satsrup Das Goswami, Volume 1, number, where are we, 46 or 47. Start with 46. An elderly Indian gentleman? I'm sorry. It was open to this page. There's a marker. It's number 10 or 9. 10. Yeah? 1977, during the Mayapur festival, a government minister visited Srila Prabhupada and gave a lecture as part of the opening night festivities. Before going to the outdoor stage, Srila Prabhupada and the minister went to see the Bodha display of ISKCON temples. Walking down the long hallway and viewing pictures of preaching activities in almost every country of the world, Srila Prabhupada was himself impressed at the vast scope of ISKCON. At one point, he shook his head, turned to the accompanying devotees, and said, "It is inconceivable." In his introductory speech, the minister surprised the audience as he began glorifying Vivekananda as one who helped humanity. Just like the incarnations of God, Rama helped humanity. And Vishnu. Giving faint praise to Lord Chaitanya, the minister said, "Of course, we don't know whether Chaitanya was an incarnation, but certainly he did great good." At the end of the minister's lecture, he gave his appreciation for the Prabhupada's movement, stating that it was spreading by, quote, moral strength, end quote, and that he hoped it would do good to humanity at large. Srila Prabhupada had been prepared to lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. He had brought his volume of the Bhagavatam and reading glasses. After he heard the minister's speech, however, Prabhupada spoke very strongly in response. The speech was in Bengali, so most of the devotees could not understand it, but they could appreciate that Prabhupada was countering the speculations of the official guest. Later that night in his room, Prabhupada laughed as he discussed the minister's speech. He had his servant bring the tape recorder, and Prabhupada again heard his own lecture. At one point, when he heard himself stating that Vivekananda had never made a single disciple despite his propaganda, Srila Prabhupada grimaced and slapped the palm of his left hand with the palm of his right. Looking up to the devotees in the room, he said, "I have smashed him." I'll read one more. Number 11. Prabhupada's Vrindavan acquaintance, Bhagatji, once entered Prabhupada's room and found him sitting silent and motionless. Bhagatji sat for a long time beside Prabhupada, and before Prabhupada actually moved, and then realized that Bhagatji was in the room. "Prabhupada," said Bhagatji, "you were in deep meditation." "Yes," said Prabhupada, "I was studying these mosquitoes. I was looking at how wonderfully Krishna has created these things. Every mosquito looks the same, so I was looking at the legs and wings." In January 1977, Prabhupada was returning to the temple in Bhubaneswar from a preaching program. As the driver sped along, Srila Prabhupada closed his eyes and rested in the front seat of the car. The devotees who remained awake suddenly observed a ghastly sight. First they saw a group of people holding a woman who was crying, screaming, and foaming at the mouth. About 200 yards further, they saw a man who must have been her husband. The body was lying in the middle of the road on its side. All the clothes had been ripped off, and the head, one arm and one leg had been smashed flat by a truck. The devotees gasped in horror, but said nothing, not wanting to disturb Srila Prabhupada. Later that morning in his room in Bhubaneswar, Prabhupada was speaking with his servant Hari Sori. Prabhupada said that people are suffering in Maya because they identify with the body. Hari Sori mentioned the incident of the dead body on the road, and he told Prabhupada what they had seen and how the man had been killed just a minute before they passed by in their car. On hearing this, Srila Prabhupada opened his eyes wide in surprise and said, "Acha." Then he commented, "But still the sight of such a dead body is really not any different from any other lump of matter. Simply because we identify the living being with that matter, then it becomes a shock to see it all squashed." Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Raya Nam Namaskritam Naram Shaivam Namo Uttamam Devim Sarasutim Vyasam Dato Jayamudirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadresh Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam, translations and purports, Canto 2, Chapter 8, Text Number 6. Dātātmā purusha krishna pada mulam na munchati mukta sarva pariklesha panta svasharanam yata dātātmā purusha krishna Dhatma Purusha Krishna
Dhatma Purusha Krishna
Paramulam Namunchati Paramulam Namunchati
Paramulam Namunchati
Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Panta Svasharanam Yata Pantaksva Sharanam Yata Dhatma Purusha Krishna Paramulam Namunchati Ukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantaksva Sharanam Yata. Whose heart has been cleansed. Purushaha, the living being. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramulam, the shelter of the lotus feet. Na, never. Munchati, gives up. Mukta, liberation. Sarva, all. Pariklesha, of all miseries of life. Panta, the traveler. Svasharanam, in his own abode. Yata, as it were. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna. For they fully satisfy him as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Responsibly, a pure devotee of the Lord,
whose heart has once been cleansed
by the process of devotional service,
never relinquishes
the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
For they fully satisfy him
as a traveler is satisfied at home
after a troubled journey.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna is not completely cleansed in the heart. But a perfectly cleansed person never quits the devotional service of the Lord. Discharging such devotional service, as ordered by Brahmaji to Narada, in the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes a representative of the Lord engaged in preaching work meets various so-called difficulties. This was exhibited by Lord Nityananda when he delivered the two fallen souls, Jagai and Madai. And similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified by the non-believers. But such difficulties are very gladly suffered by the devotees in preaching, because in such activities, although apparently very severe, the devotees of the Lord feel transcendental pleasure because the Lord is satisfied. Prahlad Maharaj suffered greatly, but still he never forgot the lotus feet of the Lord. This is because a pure devotee of the Lord is so purified in his heart that he cannot leave the shelter of Lord Krishna in any circumstances. There is no self-interest in such service. The progress of cultural knowledge by the jnanis or the bodily gymnastics of the yogis are ultimately given up by the respective performers. But a devotee of the Lord cannot give up the service of the Lord, for he is ordered by his spiritual master. Pure devotees like Narada and Nityananda Prabhu take up the order of the spiritual master as the sustenance of life. They do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. They take the matter very seriously as the order comes from the higher authority, from the representative of the Lord, or from the Lord himself. The example set herein is very appropriate. A traveler leaves home to search for wealth in far distant places, sometimes in the forest and sometimes on the ocean and sometimes on hilltops. Certainly there are many troubles for the traveler when he is in such unknown places. But all such troubles are at once mitigated as soon as the sense of his family affection is remembered, and as soon as he returns home, he forgets all such troubles on the way. A pure devotee of the Lord is exactly in a family tie with the Lord, and therefore he is undeterred in discharging his duty in full affectionate tie with the Lord. Om Agyanati Manandasya Garananjana Salakaya Chaksurin Viditam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Svabhadantikam. In one of his purports, Prabhupada talks about how he has to travel all the time and didn't have any place to stay or rest. And he gave the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is mentioned here in this purport. Narada Muni was cursed that he couldn't remain in any place for very long. So he's always traveling. He always is traveling. And Prabhupada used to say that wherever he went, it smelled like fresh paint. Right, because they were always fixing up the room wherever he went. So in one sense, he never had a home, and he mentions in that purport that his disciples' parents have sometimes condemned him, that he's taking them away from their home. And so for that reason he said that he was kind of cursed to travel and didn't have any real home. He didn't want to stay in any one place too long. And generally he didn't. He was always on the move. So it is a very important and very nice verse. It's mentioned that the devotee always feels that he is at home no matter where it may be. And the example, it's kind of a gross example, but it's given that when a person is traveling and comes back to home, feels the affection of his home life and feels very rested and forgets all the difficulties. I think in this country people came from part of Yugoslavia to get the gum from the kauri tree, and they used to risk their lives sometimes. I think Tom was telling me that sometimes there were skeletons up in the trees because they would throw their rope up, and the kauri trees, I guess the branches don't start until maybe long ways up, 20 or 30 meters, and so they'd throw their ropes and climb up, and then sometimes they'd lose the rope, it would fall down, and they'd be stuck up in the tree, and they were afraid to jump down, so they would just die up there. This is the lore of the tree feller, that some of these people who came all the way from Croatia or wherever, Dalmatia, to get the cowrie gum, underwent great risks to get this, and most of them ended up settling here, I think. But the thing that was keeping them going was that they would go back home and become very rich and repose themselves with their family and become very relaxed, and they would forget all the difficulty that they underwent crossing the ocean in a boat and climbing the trees and so forth and so on. So it said that unless one is actually cleansed, one is perfectly fixed in Krishna consciousness, Om Chayo Vyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate, and comes to the point of loving Krishna, and is cleansed of all impurities, is steady, has passed through all the stages of the beginning of Krishna consciousness, having some faith, and Bhajana Kriya, and so on, Sadhu Sangha, Ruchi, Nishta, Bhajana Kriya, comes to all the stages of Krishna consciousness, comes to all the stages and becomes pure and cleansed in the heart, then to that person, one becomes very attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, and that becomes the real home of such a person. There's a saying in English, home is where the heart is. And Prabhupada was very fond of using this phrase, back to home, back to Godhead. Where is the real home? The real home, of course, is not in the material world. But that is the natural place for everyone. This is my home. So Prabhupada uses that word very instructively. Home. What is real home? Where are we going? Once in Durban, someone asked the question that is very often asked in philosophy classes or among philosophers, where do we come from? And where are we going? And who are we? You know, really basic questions. And Prabhupada's answer was, where from have you come just now? And it elicited a bit of a laugh. Where have you come from just now? And the person didn't answer. He said, well, that's what I want to know. I said, no, where did you come from? Where did you come from? Does anybody know? Can anyone say? And nobody would proffer an answer. So Prabhupada said, you've come from home. And then people laughed again. Come from home. And then he went on to say that this is our temporary home, that our real home is Godhead. That is the kingdom of God. And so some of us who are kind of like expatriates, we were born in India, our ancestors came from India or America or England or wherever, don't sort of pine away for that home, because the real home is in the spiritual world. And now we have made this material world our home. But Krishna says, Mamai Bamso Jivaloke, okay, we've created a world of our own. Manashastan, Indriyani, Pakriti, Stani, Karshati. We've created this material world because we want a home in this material world. But actually, those who are a little bit advanced in Krishna consciousness and those who are completely cleansed never want to be happy. And they have a kind of healthy pessimism about the material world. It's not the real, normal, natural, best place for people to live. They have this kind of vision. There was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada called him Ishana. Sometimes he's known as Kolabecha, or he's been called Kolabecha Sridhar. And Lord Chaitanya was a little concerned about him because he didn't have a home. He was one of these sort of what you call homeless people, but he was very happy. And Lord Chaitanya, being very compassionate, said that maybe you should have a proper house, at least have a roof over your head, because when it rains, you're going to get very wet and cold. So this devotee said, he said, I don't really want a nice home. He said, but the birds, they live in the trees and they get rained on and they don't care. They're always singing and seem happy and chirping in the morning. I want to be just like that. So Lord Chaitanya was very happy with his answer, that even though he offered him a nice place and said that you should have a proper place to live in, he was very happy that he lived in a very simple way and didn't care. He just wanted to be free like the bird and have his own habitat in nature and not be concerned about having a sort of quote, proper, unquote, home. That made Lord Chaitanya very happy. And of course, we've read about a lot of great sages, like Prabhupada mentions here, Prahlad Maharaj, Jesus Christ, and there were others. There's Lord Nishabdev, Lord Shukadeva Goswami, there were so many, who wandered about sometimes without any clothes on. And in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that we shouldn't be concerned that the trees have bark and that can be our clothes, that we don't need pillows, we can sleep on our arms. We don't have to have bedsteads or cushions or mattresses. We can sleep on the ground. And when people come to Vrindavan, sometimes we notice on the, they come on pilgrimage, and some of them have homes, nice homes, but they like to sleep outside. Some of them sleep on the stairs of the temples because they know that they're entering into the spiritual world and that they don't have the comforts of home. And they're very happy, they're very satisfied, because those at least who are on pilgrimage who have some sense of Krishna consciousness, they know that this is my real home. So they don't care, they don't mind, they feel very, very happy, and they have their homely comforts there in Vrindavan. And you lived in Vrindavan for a long time. It's a, in one sense, it's a very difficult place. It's sometimes they call it the place of tapasya or vairagya. It's very difficult, and the government of UP is very corrupt, and there's so many difficulties that arise in Vrindavan. But those who have transcendental vision consider it as that it's their real home. It's the place where Krishna was, and Krishna's presence is everywhere. There's a great character everywhere. Trees are very beautiful, the land is very beautiful. Actually, I had an interesting experience with a video camera once. I was, of course, in Vrindavan, because in lots of parts of India, we Westerners were not used to the smells, and they kind of revolt us a little bit at first. But when you have a video camera, you don't get the smell, you just see what it looks like. And it turned out that everywhere we pointed the video camera, it looked very beautiful. No matter where it was even the roads, even the graffiti, the walls, the buildings, what to speak of the trees and the lakes and the kuns, they're very beautiful. So it is a very, very, very beautiful place. And it is, you know, you can see that people could conceive of it being their real, normal, natural home. When the Goswamis lived there, they lived very simply too. They didn't care about having a nice place to live. They were living sometimes in the caves and in the underground and under trees, near the sacred rivers or lakes, and they were very, very happy. And they were very big people. They were big people in the government, very respected. And when they became Goswamis, especially Rupa and Sanatana and Jiva Goswami, they lived very simple, very simply. And you see the pictures of them, they were in just loincloths. They didn't care for a proper sort of residence. They were very, very pleased. And some devotees have told me that sometimes, because that's all they wore, it got a little cold sometimes, and they were even shivering, but they didn't notice, they didn't care. Of course, this is the mark of a pure devotee, and one who is, as it is said in the verse, whose heart has been cleansed by the process of devotional service. Or, and in Prabhupada's verse, it says, one who is a pure devotee of the Lord. And one who is not a pure devotee is not completely cleansed in the heart, but a perfectly cleansed person never quits the devotional service of the Lord. So this is the great love, the great feeling of ecstasy, that this is my normal, natural place. And no matter what happens, like this example is given Lord Jesus Christ, one may be cursed, one may be even as he was, crucified, one is not bewildered. Or the more extreme examples maybe than Jesus Christ, or even our well, there are many devotees, I guess, but Prahlad Maharaj, when it's just inconceivable, he was thrown off a cliff, he was thrown in boiling oil and all that sort of thing, put in a snake pit, put under the feet of a great elephant, and wasn't worried about it. It didn't matter. So to a devotee, death is not fearful. It's as Prabhupada mentioned, it's like sleep. You go to sleep at night, it's very comfortable. You roll up, get under the covers, and it's very pleasurable. Sometimes people who are not Krishna conscious sleep a long time, 7 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. Prabhupada talked about sometimes people would sleep till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they would think this is really good. This is, now I'm feeling very, very on top of things, because I can sleep 15, 20 hours a day. It makes them feel very good. But to a devotee, death is like that. It's just a temporary transition. It's just a sleeping phase that we have to go through for a few months in human form, 9 months, and then come awake again. So, completely detached. And that was the mood we saw of Prabhupada. He was very detached. He would move around to many places. He would say that Vrindavan is his real home. And he exhibited absolutely no fear of dying, of death. And he would see it as a temporary phase. And once we asked him what he was feeling like, his health was, he said, what is this body? Doesn't matter, it's just a body. So pure devotee doesn't care. It's the temporary home. And if one isn't completely pure, there are all sorts of ways that one tries to develop spiritual consciousness. One tries to perform various rituals. One tries to ignore the material world or say it doesn't exist. This is a very common thing, that it's sort of like having, you say you can get rid of a headache by shooting yourself in the head. That's a common, very common way that people want to reduce suffering. Everybody has to, because the material world is based on suffering, actually can't find a person who honestly will admit, at least an adult person, that there's not suffering in the material world. The material world is based upon the fact that we have to do things we don't want to do. We have to struggle, we have to fight, we have to be in rain. There sometimes cold weather, sometimes very hot weather. And there are, of course, the threefold miseries. Sometimes we're pestered by mosquitoes and bugs. Sometimes we just have bad fortune. Sometimes we lose everything we have. Sometimes people just give us all kinds of trouble. Adiyatma, adibhotik, adidaivik, all kinds of things that go on. And so sometimes it's just common, it's very popular to just ignore and try to renounce everything. And it's very popular, the Buddhistic movement, to just go someplace, no eye contact with anybody, don't talk, and just say it's all false, and then go back to work on the weekdays and get involved, and then on the weekends or whatever, have your meditation and say it's not real. this is very, very common and very popular. In fact, most spiritualists just try to say that the Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya, that the material world is false and that only the spiritual world is real. This is the unique contribution of Prabhupada, that he said that we can use everything in the material world even though we know it's not our natural, normal place. One devotee was lamenting that he didn't live near the temple, and Prabhupada said, it's your connection with Krishna that matters. It's how you conduct your life, how you use everything in the service of the Lord. So even the things that people like to renounce, that bother them, that worry them, those things, Prabhupada taught, could be used in Krishna consciousness. And if one focuses samashritaye padapalava pavam on the spiritual world, then this great difficulty, this great ocean of material existence, becomes just like the water, this great ocean of material. It's a very nice kind of poetic verse. Samashritaye padapalava pavam. Mahat punyam, what is it? Mahat punyam. Param punya yasho murane param param yadvi padam natesham. It's the last line. This material world is considered to be like a great ocean, and no one can cross an ocean. Impossible. But those who are fixed in the lotus feet of the Lord are attached to a boat that very nicely carries them across this great ocean, and the ocean becomes like the water in a hoof print of a cat. Very insignificant, very small. And those persons are able to cross over the ocean because they are fixed in their consciousness of Krishna. They're fixed in the spiritual world, and they know that this is their real home, not this place where there is param param yadvi param natesham, danger at every step. So even though there is danger, and even though there are so many tribulations, one is not focused on this material world, but focused on the real home. That's the purport of this verse. So I'm going to read it again and maybe have some questions. A pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of the Lord, for they fully satisfy him, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. One point I wanted to mention is that many of us, probably most of the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, do have a home. They have to live in a home. The principle is not to prematurely renounce it, to move on, to be to have a long beard and long hair and be a sadhu, but to be detached. It's to be detached and realize that this is not my natural place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended the Kshetra Sannyas. Sannyas is one of the forbidden elements. There are five elements forbidden in Kali Yuga, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita: offering flesh to the forefathers, a horse sacrifice, a cow sacrifice, impregnating the wife with the brother and taking sannyas. But kshetra sannyas, or the idea of being detached from the material world, is possible for anyone to practice that kind of sannyas. So one has to develop this idea of detachment and know that the spiritual world is my real place. So the home of a devotee becomes like Prabhupada's home was when he was a child, became a place for many guests to come and become Krishna conscious. That's the purpose of the home. The purpose of the home is for everyone to realize where their real home is. And he said in Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, there were never less than 4 or 6 people in his father's home every night of the week. Can you imagine having that kind of home? And that kind of home is for preaching. There was an article in Bhaktivedanta about the pyramid house. I think it was called Home with a Heart or something like that. It was a very nice article. It was all about how this, although it was a home, it was a preaching center, a place where people could come and take refuge and know that this was actually their real home. So that's the nature of kshetra sannyas. One uses this facility given by Krishna to expand. Ordinarily, it's a place for grihamedi life, for becoming more and more immersed in the material world, becoming attached and liking to sleep and liking to watch television and just having this kind of refuge. But it's actually meant for the sake of making people feel that they have a real home. It may not be the home that they have their own bed in and their own family, but it actually is their real home. That's the nature of sannyas in this age, to utilize everything for Krishna. And as it's said in Bhagavad Gita, real sannyas is not one who is inactive, who does no activity or lights no fire, but engages in active works of devotion. So these active works of devotion are to utilize whatever we have, which is ordinarily utilized to keep us bound up in the material world. Everything in the material world can be used, just about everything but envy, in the spiritual life. It's stated there in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita that whatever we do generally binds us to the material world. But if we do it for Krishna, it becomes liberating and frees us from the material world. So, any comments or questions? Yes, Amananda.
What was the transliteration of the Dhatma?
It's whose heart has been cleansed.
So
Gauta Atma.
Prabhupada is equipped calling Atma the heart.
About the heart being cleansed?
In connection with Atma.
You mean because I'm not sure what your question is.
Well, Atma means self, right?
Right.
And the verse is saying the heart is cleansed. So what's the connection with heart and self?
Well, Atma has different meanings. Sometimes Atma means even the body, it means the soul, it means the self, it means the heart. Our heart, what we call our heart, or they say home is where the heart is. The heart here means what we're actually attached to. Generally, we see this picture of a heart, with an arrow through it and all that. It's come to mean something that we're very attached to. Usually, it has to do with romance, and security, safety. I mean, I think if you took a survey, you'd find that people are more concerned about their own safety and security and health and loved ones than anything else in the world. So. It is said Chaitanya Dwapana Marjana, we sing it every day. The heart has to be cleansed, because within the heart, within the mind, rest our attachments. We're very attached to certain things, and this example is given about the traveler. The heart is satisfied when surrounded by relatives, and back in my familiar surroundings, my family, my friends, my furniture, my house. It's all like the astronaut probably gave the example. He was looking at Moscow. He was a Russian astronaut. His main thing was he was focused on, where is my Moscow? So he was trying to think of, he was very far away in a very dangerous, precarious situation. He was focused, his heart was attached to his home. So our hearts tend to be like that. They tend to be attached. So this idea of taking the same attachment and dovetailing with Krishna is the whole process that Prabhupada is talking about here, yukta vairagya, of of the thing which we love the most. What do we love the most? That symbol of the heart, you know, it's all based on what people call love. And as we read Bhagavad Gita, we see that that love, as we learn about it, is not the real essence of life. Yet the trouble was given by Arjuna, the attachment. He played the role of someone who was very attached to wanting things to be a certain way, who's attached to nonviolence. And he was very attached to his kinsmen. He didn't want to engage in this warfare. So moving that love to transcendental love is the process of cleansing the heart. The heart has to be attached to the lotus feet of Krishna as the supreme lovable object rather than anything else in the material world. So that these are considered impurities in the heart, that we're attached to so many things in the material world, whatever they may be. And they may be very innocuous. They may seem very innocuous. But in the end, unless that same attachment is dovetailed with Krishna, then it's not in its pure form. So the idea is that the heart, when it's cleansed, one's attached to Krishna. That's the pure form of love. And then all the other forms become pure because everything is resident in Krishna. Everything, all the emotions are in their pure form. And then when we love Krishna, then we love, as Prabhupada says in a lecture, he was talking about Prahlad Maharaj. It's in that little booklet, Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. It says, when you become a lover of Krishna, you become a lover of everyone in the universe. So that is pure love, as opposed to impure. So the heart is the kind of symbolic representation that Prabhupada uses to say what our attachments are. We're attached to what we love or what we think we love. And when it's in its pure form, it's love of Krishna. And because Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke, the Atma, is part and parcel of Krishna, it's also natural. It's not artificial. What we're doing here is artificial. And when we love Krishna, then it comes to its natural position. Yeah. Yes.
Just on a more practical level, talking about homes, the six Goswamis.